三年之内，我自己的文职一案子还要立案，也愿意依赖我们科的文职呢，我们文职科的汉杰呢，要求你们呢，要求你们帮我们的这个学习呢，我也是跟你们看他的阿姨的关系。你知道吗？他经常发呢，往后面的时候，在德国土地和欧洲的看 specific time to be about entering in good bid'ah and religion. هل يوجد بد'ah حسنة في الإسلام أو لا يوجد بد'ah حسنة؟ Because what brought us to this subject is we are dealing with a chapter entitled Whoever establishes the peace will enter paradise without any reckoning. And we said establishing the peace could be done by doing three things, which are your magic, which are your thoughts. But that is all of us mentioned is included in the thing is leave all kind of association transgression. So there are two things, leave all kind of shirt. What are the other two? Leave all type of innovation. And the third one, leave all kind of sin. And yet, كل أنواع يتحقق التوحيد لأن الإنسان ينجو من الشرك لأن يترك البدع ويترك المعاصي وذلك لأن المعصية ولأن البدعة هو لوح هي لوح الشرك حيث أن المعصية لا تأتي إلا عن طريق الهوى وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى أفرأيت من اتخذ إلهه هواك وأما البدعة أن لهم شركاء أم شرعوا لهم من الدين ما لم يأذن به الله فأذن في هذه الآية أن التشريع في الدين ما لم يأذن به الله فهو له شرك فلذلك يجب على الإنسان الذي يريد أن يحقق التوحيد أن يترك كل الشركيات كل البدعيات أن يترك كل المعاصي Therefore, we have said it's important and imperative for the person to leave, to establish a need, to leave all kinds of associations. Because association hinders and requires your belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in your belief that Isa is Jannah, is one of the messengers of Allah azza wa jal, and he is a slave to Allah azza wa jal, and it defies your belief that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah and the seed of the Prophet. So he said, leaving sin, because everything we do is most likely coming out of our desire, evil desire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, have you seen the one who took his desire and his Lord? As far as association, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what we just have said is that you may have partners, and those partners, they legislate what Allah did not permit to be legislation. And the innovation is part of legislation in the religion, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He did not permit. So for us to establish tawheed, we have these four kinds of innovation. And the question that was put on the table, is there any good innovation in the religion? هل يوجد بالأحسنة؟ من يقول يوجد بالأحسنة؟ بالأحسنة شاشي طبعاً بالحسنة أي حسنة وجميلة تقرب إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى دائما يوجد بالأحسنة هل يوجد بالأحسنة؟ ماذا تقول يا أخي؟
بدعة
ها؟
بدعة
بدعة حسنة
هي بدعة
حسنة
بدعة Is there a good elevation of this?
Would you call the preparation of the hadith elevation?
We call the... Yes? Here we go. We brought you a very important piece of information. For us to understand this subject, some of the religious powers or knowledge in our religion, they say there is something is called bid'ah hasan, good innovation. And they brought evidence to support their statement from the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the action of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. First, they say Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "من كان في الإسلام سنة حسنة يعلم غيرها ويؤدي عن عمل بها إلى يوم القيامة، ومن كان في الإسلام سنة سيئة فيؤدها ويؤدي من عمل بها إلى يوم القيامة." فأثبت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من الحديث that there's something called good tradition, because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said this is their evidence. Whoever established a good tradition in Islam, he will receive the reward of that tradition, and he will also receive the reward of everybody who implements this tradition without reducing their reward. And whoever establishes an Islam, an evil tradition, he will receive the consequences of that, and also he will receive the consequences of everybody who does that. This is the statement of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the statement of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam affirms there is something which is called good tradition, and there is something that is called bad tradition. So the one who establishes a good tradition, that is good, and the good tradition is the good innovation in the religion. Also, it says in the hadith that was brought in Bukhari, that Umar ibn Khattab, he came outside of Ramadan. People were praying in groups and so on and so forth. And he said, "I would rather put them all behind one imam." So he did that. And next day he came and all of them were praying behind one imam, and he said, "Ni'matun bid'ah hadhihi." That is a good innovation. So now we have the statement of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he says, this is a good innovation. And we know Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafa'i ar-rashidin al-mahdiyyin min ba'di, follow my way and the way of those righteous khalifa that come after me." And who can say that Umar was not a righteous khalifa? He was a righteous khalifa. And he said that is a good innovation. Thirdly, they say there was nothing called the knowledge of hadith. The Quran was not collected in one book. Who collected the Quran? The companion. Who started the time of hadith? The people who come after that. Who started the science of the Arabic language? The people, so all of that was not included, was not present in the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the goal was innovation. So if those are permitted and everybody does that, so it has to be by necessity, there is something which is called those innovation in their religion. This is the evidence that they bring. And as we see those evidence, they have power behind it. But this power is very on the external. It's very limited. Because once those evidence are examined, you're going to see, inshallah, how they have no proof, none whatsoever, to say there is good evidence. Good to that. We go back to the hadith. The Sayyidah is Islamic, Sunnah al-Hasan. One by one. We say, hey, we don't want to take the hadith from the end. and saying, we have to take this hadith from the beginning.
جاء قوم إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من غريب مشتريهما متقلدون السيوف من غريب عالمهم من غريب أو كلهم من غريب فلما رآه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تمتع بما رأى به من الصدقة ثم حث الناس على الصدقة هذا اتفاق من حث الناس على الصدقة فقال فقام رجل فجاء بصدقة فوضعها أمام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم تتابع الناس على هذا الفعل فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عندئذ من سن في الإسلام سنة الحسنة فلا تجرها وأجر من العلمين فالسياق والقضاء في هذا الحديث يحدث أن سن السنة الحسنة هنا العمل بشيء مشروع أصلا وهو الصدقة ماذا فعل الرجل؟ تصدق هل الصدقة مشروعة في الإسلام وجاءت الآيات العظيمة التي تحث على الصدقة؟ نعم فإذا هو لم يشرع شيء من الدين وإنما عمل بشيء فتتابع الناس عليه This hadith we have to take it in its entirety It says some people came from a certain tribe and they were wearing some type of garment and they had their swords on their back. And when the Prophet saw him, saw them, his face changed because they were very poor. And he encouraged the people to give charity. After the companions heard the encouragement, one of them was quick to go and bring some charity and put it before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the people saw the action of this companion, they took example of him and they followed and they did what he did. So here, by looking at the hadith, there was no elevation in the religion. Simply a person did something that was legislated in the religion. To give a charity is something that is legislated in the religion. You read in the Quran, many ayahs encouraging us to give fi sabilillah. To donate for the people. So that is already legislated. So what this companion did, he just implemented something that was legislated in the religion, and when the people saw his action, they followed his footsteps. So the Prophet said, when that happens, whoever enacts in the religion a good sunnah, a good tradition. So the enactment here refers to practicing something that already exists in the religion. It does not refer to something that you bring up into to the religion. Somebody tells you, where do you get up for this information? Now you are understanding this hadith simply to be practicing something that was established in this religion. We say for 2 years. The first of which is this is how the hadith took place. That was the situation how it took place when the hadith was sent. Secondly, if I say for the sake of argument, yes, there is a good innovation. What makes it good? What would make the innovation good? من الذي يلعب البدعة حسنة حسنة؟ من الذي يحسن هذه البدعة ويصحح هذه البدعة؟ Who is the authority to say this is a good بدعة and this is a bad بدعة؟ Who is that authority? Huh? Well, the problem is it's not a بدعة. So, for example, we go to Pakistan. Okay, a lot of people, after they pray, they get the tongue and they wipe their eyes with it. And they say, this is a good bid'ah. We go to Morocco. And they pray and they read Quran to listen to the chanting mass. And they say, this is a bad bid'ah. But the Moroccans look at the practice of wiping the tongue and the eyes and they say, this is not from the Sunnah. And the other people look at the Moroccan and say, read the Quran to make the Islam from the Sunnah.
So who is to say what is a good bid'ah? Is it up to me and you to say this is good and this is bad? Then everybody will go and we have different arguments. Because my mind is different than yours. What is your the best color for you? What is it? Blue. I don't like blue very much. I like green. Can I tell her, you are wrong in your question? Can I? No. So if I say this is a good bid'ah, can you tell me no, it's bad because your opinion is different than mine? So, therefore, if we say there is a good bid'ah, that means everybody does whatever they want. There's no authority, there's no control over what would be a bid'ah good and what would be a bid'ah bad. Everybody would be according to his own will and his guidance. Since we have this problem, built in a problem in saying there is a good bid'ah, we say that means the hadith by necessity means good, sunnah means what? In acting, practicing something that was established in the religion. So this is what we say today. Is that convincing to you? Is it convincing? Where did we come from? Okay, do you have any good bid'ah in West Africa? Name one for us. No, something unique to that country. Unique. Something only classic over here.
Yeah, we come against the side of the country.
Yeah, everybody does that. You need something that only done in your country. So as you see, there's a lot of people, they say, this is a good bid'ah. I say, well, who makes it good? How you are measuring it to be good? Measurement of goodness is the Qur'an and the Sunnah. Not your mind and my mind, and your shape and my shape. Then the religion will be not religion as a separation. كُلُّ حِرْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِ فَيَحُمْ. Every body, every family, whatever they have, they are happy with. We agree on certain bid'ah and say this is good. Certain other people will come and say, no, it's not good. And we are happy at least with what we have, and they are happy at least with what they have. And everybody will go in a certain direction. Therefore, we have to understand the authority to make something good is not our mind, is the Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whatever Allah says is good, that means it's good. Whatever Allah has a messenger say that good, that means it's good. So therefore, it's not to us, it's not up to us to assign or to give something the title to be good or give it the title to be bad. Secondly, we say, what was the second evidence that the statement of Umar bin Khattab? We say, playing the Tawheed collectively under one imam was practiced by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he prayed the imam the first day, he prayed the imam the second day, and he prayed the imam the first day, and when a lot of people were gathered on the first day, he did not pray for the Tarawih, and he said, I am afraid if I do that, it will become mandatory over you. So that's something that was practiced by the Prophet of Allah, and then it was found in fear that it would be made a mandatory prayer. After the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was no way for that prayer to become mandatory anymore because the revelation had ceased to come from the sky. Therefore, Umar, he said, let them pray behind one imam. That was not an innovation in the religion, that was reviving a practice of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, something that the Prophet did not do for a reason, and now this reason is removed. So we can come back of the way. So bid'ah here is used as a linguistic bid'ah. not bid'ah in the religion. What does it mean in linguistic bid'ah? Bid'ah, in اللغة العربية تعني إحداث شيء بعد أن لم يكن. فهذا الذي أتكلم به بدعه لأنه لم يكن من قبل، والمروحة بدعه لأنها لم تكن من قبل، ولكن هذه بدعه لغويه، يعني لغة تسمى بدعه، ولكن شرعا لا تسمى بدعه، لأن نحن لسنا نعرف في عبادة الله سبحانه وتعالى، ليست بدعه في الدين. So بدعه من الدين وسك بدعه is an innovation. This is an innovation, right? This is an innovation. Is it an innovation in religion? No. It's a linguistic. We call it, this is an innovation because now we have it, and there was a great length of time where we did not have this thing. So when the Prophet, when Umar ibn Khattab said, this is a good bid'ah, he is referring to bid'ah that is of linguistic meaning. That something he is reviving, he bringing back to what was it during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thirdly, we say about the gathering of the hadith, the doubt, collecting the Quran, the Bible, all of those things are not, before we go to them, let us define what is the bid'ah in the religion. Bid'ah in the religion, طريقة الدين مخترعة يقصد بها التقرب لله تعالى. هذا تعريف الإمام الشافعي في كتاب الاعتقاد. فالطريقة للدين المزرعة يقصد بها التقرب لله تبارك وتعالى. طريقة للدين المزرعة على غير مثال سابق يقصد بها التقرب لله تبارك وتعالى. بمعنى الفصل التعبد لله بما لم يأذن به الله. هذه البدعة. البدعة to worship Allah in a way that Allah does not permission to worship. To worship Allah in a way that Allah does not permission you to worship. That is the bid'ah in the religion. Therefore, the microphone is not bid'ah because it is not in the religion. It is bid'ah in our life, but not bid'ah in the religion. But it will help us. We can use it in our advantage. And so on, the they are not bid'ah in the religion, they are bid'ah in the life of the people, but we can use it in all advantage. The bid'ah that is forbidden is to worship Allah in ways that He does not permit us to do. So if we want to worship Allah by celebrating the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, does Allah permit us to do that? So that would be worshiping Allah in ways that He does not permit. If you say, but this is good, I ask who made it good? You and I, or Allah made it good? If you say Allah made it good, and say, what is the evidence? Who does the evidence that Allah made it good? But there's no evidence, you are making it good, and so you're not in a position to legislate for us and tell us what is good and what is bad, because what you are saying, this is beloved by Allah, and this is not beloved by Allah. And Allah does not say about Allah what you do not know. It's a great crime to say that Allah loves this or Allah does not love that and do not have evidence to support what you say. So bid'ah is to worship Allah in a way that was not permitted. When the Quran was collected in one book, collecting the Quran in of itself would be rewarded for those who collected the Quran. But in of itself is not an act of worship. Do you come to the Quran every day and separate it into pages and put it together? And you say, I collected the Quran. So the collection of the Quran in of itself is not an ibadah, but it was an action that is rewarded. Because it's something that was needed to be done. And that was needed to be done. It has some major evidence to it in the Quran, some general evidence that the book should be collected in what the Quran should be collected in one book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Surah Al what? The Baqarah means ذلك الكتاب. This is the book, has no doubt here. So the book is something that is selected. Secondly, the collection of the hadith is not an act of worship in of itself, but it is an act that will be worshipped, because there is a very important principle that the Prophet said, مَا لَا يَكُونُ الْوَاجِبِ إِلَّا لِهِ فَهُوَ وَاجِبٌ وَالْمَقَالِدُ وَالْمُقَالِدُ لَا أَحْكَامُ الْمَقَالِدُ هَذِهِ عِبَادَةُ الْقَاعِدَةِ الْعَامَّةِ وَإِذَا تَحْتَهَا مَا لَا يَكُونُ الْوَاجِبِ بِهِ فَهُوَ وَاجِبٌ There is a principle. It's mandatory for you to do those things that will, it's mandatory for you to do the things that are a must for you to do something that is mandatory. It's Halloween. Okay. We'll give you an example. You want to make wudu. Is it mandatory for you to make wudu? Yes. You don't have water. But there's somebody selling water next to you. Buy and sell it. Is it mandatory to buy and sell? Is it haram to buy and sell? Is it mubah for visible? Okay. Now, you want to make wudu and this man is selling water. You cannot make wudu unless you buy the water from him. Is buying the water become mandatory for you? Yes, it's mandatory. Because you cannot make the wudu unless you buy the water. So buying the water becomes mandatory for you to make the wudu. This is what we mean. Everything that will enable you to do something that is mandatory are in themselves are mandatory. So what will be enabled us to collect the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the science of the hadith. That was something that is needed. Not an act of worship in of itself, but it's an act that will be rewarded, and this is an act that will lead us to do something that is necessary in our religion, which is to preserve the religion. Secondly, we tell those people that they say to us, the companions to lecture the Quran. We say yes. The companions to lecture the Quran. Who are the companions? They are the students of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they will give a recommendation, and they will praise by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially the poor Khalifa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us to follow their guidance. So they decide, I will follow what they are doing. Did they celebrate the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? They did not. So why don't we follow their footsteps in every part of the religion? We only pick and choose what you want. While you are picking things that will agree with your own desires and leave things that do not agree with your own desires. If you say to us, the companions to make the Quran, this was a good bid'ah, he says you also the companions did not practice celebrating the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So why don't you follow him in totality? So by saying that, he has refuted all of their evidence. But the case is not over yet. We have to produce now our own evidence. We did not produce any other evidence yet. We are only using their evidence. Our evidence is the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, before the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الْيَوْمَ أَسْلَمْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَسْلَمْتُ عَلَكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Today, I have completed your religion and perfected my favor over you. I am pleased with Islam being your religion. Islam is complete love. If something is complete, we have to ask anything to us. Who is in his right mind to say, yes, the religion is complete, but I'm going to ask him something more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completes something. Are you going to add something to it more? That is really something that should not be learned by a sane person. Because the religion is complete. Therefore, the Imam Malik says, whoever claims there is a good indication in the religion, he is implying that the messenger does not communicate the message. that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not convey the message. Read the statements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O our Messenger, communicate and convey what was revealed to you by your Lord. So we have the evidence from the Quran that the religion is complete. Therefore, I do not need it to perfect it, nor I need to perfect it, nor do you need to perfect the religion. The religion is perfect. Second, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, everything that we bring closer to Allah, I have ordained you to do. And everything that we bring closer to the Hellfire, I have forbidden you from doing. When you are innovating and innovating the religion, what is the purpose of it? To come closer to Allah. And the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have ordained you of everything that we bring closer to Allah. And you are doing this new thing that we should do. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not teach us about. This is the implication of your station. This is the implication of a person who says there is a good innovation. Secondly, we have the statement of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he says, كُلُّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلُّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. This, he used to say that in earth when he makes his khutbah. And in many hadith where it says, every new practice in the religion is an innovation.